The GP Plus Careers Podcast.
Are you a GP hoping to diversify your career? Perhaps you've got a passion for women's health, or have ambitions to be an expedition GP, or maybe you've just always wondered, what would it be like to be a GP working in a prison? Well, this will hopefully be the podcast for you. My name's Sophie Lumley. I'm a First Five GP in the West Midlands and also a training programme director. I certainly fell into the above category, and I was keen to start this podcast to find out about the breadth of career options available to me, my colleagues and my trainees. I've been lucky enough to interview fellow GPs who've had some of these extra roles. They've told me what their role involves, how they got there, and the tips and advice that they have for those hoping to follow in their footsteps. I really hope you enjoy listening and feel as inspired as I have in speaking to them. I'm really pleased today to be joined by Charlie Andrews, who's a GP with an extended role in gastroenterology. So over to you, Charlie. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
I am a GP with an extended role in gastroenterology, as you say. So what does that actually mean? Usually quite a good question. So I spend part of my time as a GP partner in a fantastic practice in North Somerset called Soma Valley Medical Group. And I spend the rest of my time working within gastroenterology in different roles. So currently I work as an endoscopist in addition to my GP role. So I work in a community setting one day a week delivering endoscopy services. For the other part of my gastroenterology week, as I sort of call it, I work with NHS England creating and delivering a GP with extended role training program, which I suspect we'll probably talk about a little bit more as we go forwards. In addition to my GP and gastro roles, I'm also a committee member for the Primary Care Society for Gastroenterology. And in that role, I run a podcast called Ingest, which is sort of an educational podcast around for primary care, basically. It's essentially just providing primary care focused education. So a few different roles that keep the week busy and interesting. And then obviously I've also got a family and I've got young children. So that's the other part of my week. So I have quite a few different roles and get a lot of enjoyment from all of them.
Awesome. So it sounds like you've got a really nice balance there. And what's interesting is you have a sort of clinical role in gastroenterology, but also clearly a leadership and an educational role as well. So you've got that sort of triad of different activities. Is the clinical gastro bit just an endoscopy list, or do you do clinics or other bits, or have you done other clinical gastroenterology at other times?
Currently, I'm just doing endoscopy. Going back a couple of years, I ran and worked in my local hospital running general gastroenterology clinics for about 3 years. So I've done a bit of both and I'm interested in both.
And in terms of just to sort of help people get their head around the kind of clinical patients people might see in a GP with extended role gastroenterology clinic, as opposed to a specialist secondary care gastroenterology clinic, how did that work? Where did the GP fit in terms of what you were seeing?
So the GP with extended role can see a broad range of patients with GI symptoms and conditions. You know, in primary care, we see so many patients that have got GI complaints. And I think, you know, one of the research studies showed that about 10% of what we see as GPs is actually, well, is gastroenterology. And so it's really important for GPs to have a good understanding of a broad range of gastroenterology. The GP with extended role kind of takes it that next step and kind of has that more specialist understanding of functional disease. We know that there's a significant amount of functional gastroenterology out there, and the GP with extended role can really fit into that niche really well by drawing on those primary care skills, but also layering on that additional gastroenterology knowledge. There are also other areas that the GP with extended role can really support with, things like celiac disease, certain inflammatory bowel diseases, things like proctitis. These sort of things can certainly be managed by a GP with an extended role and avoid the need for secondary care input.
And when you were working in those clinics, was it primary care who was referring into you, or was it more that primary care were referring generally to gastroenterology and the gastroenterologist would triage to a GP with extended role clinic? How did that interface work?
So the clinic that I ran was based within a hospital, and these were patients that had been referred on to the hospital and then would be brought into my clinic. There are examples of GP with extended role specific clinics in the community. There's one run in Bristol where GPs can actually directly refer certain patients into that service directly. So there are different ways that it works. And, you know, I think moving forwards, we need to look at how we manage those referral pathways. You know, if there are more GPs with extended role interested in working in the community, you know, how do we get the right patients to them? And that could be patients being triaged by secondary care and felt that they're appropriate for a primary care GP extended role clinic, or it could be direct referrals. And I think these sorts of things are not fully clarified yet.
Cool. So that's really interesting to know. And I think you're right. Lots of people I've spoken to have talked about pathways and where the GP with extended role fits in between primary and secondary care. So tell us a little bit about your endoscopy role then, because that's pretty specialist, I suppose. And I think I would certainly feel very bold as a GP to suddenly turn around and say, yep, I reckon I can scope somebody. So tell us about how you got into that.
It wasn't easy, I would say. Essentially, I've always been very interested in gastroenterology. And I think that my interest started really from my own personal experience of GI disease. When I was a teenager, I was diagnosed with inflammatory bowel disease. I had a very difficult time with it, and I was studying a history degree at Durham University, and I got very, very ill with ulcerative colitis. And I went back and forwards to different specialists. I had to take a year off because I was so ill. Essentially, I was an 18-year-old who was essentially sort of housebound. I was so sick. But I eventually found a specialist at somewhere called St. Mark's Hospital in London, which is kind of a gastroenterology specialist area. And he really just made me want to be a doctor. It was incredible. He's one of these people that sort of put their arm around you metaphorically and went on your journey with you and experienced the highs and lows of it. And it really inspired me to enter medicine. And so that's really how I ended up changing from a history degree with a view to potentially, I wasn't quite sure where that would take me actually, but I just really enjoyed it, to starting to want to become a doctor and then taking the graduate entry medical route. So I then became a graduate entry medic, and I always felt very drawn to primary care throughout my entire training. I love the idea of kind of getting to know families, communities, and looking after people very holistically. But I think there was always that gastroenterology itch and that interest. And I felt quite a strong affinity really with people with gastrointestinal problems. And so when I finished my training, I looked for opportunities, and I actually, the first opportunity that I had actually was back in 2017. I became a clinical champion for inflammatory bowel disease for the RCGP, which allowed me really to start to explore pathway design, teaching and support, which I really enjoyed within gastroenterology. And I did that for 2 years. And at that time, I was going through GP training. And when I finished GP training in 2018, I then started to look for ways where I could extend my role. And the first role that I found was actually working in endoscopy. So I was offered endoscopy training, which is quite unusual because it's quite difficult to get into endoscopy training as a GP. But I was offered it in Bristol. So I started doing that. But then COVID hit, and essentially my training ended very abruptly. And I thought, well, how am I going to continue my interest in gastroenterology? I thought that really that had kind of come to an end now, and I was really disappointed. But I was looking for opportunities, and there's a GP organization in Bath called Bath Enhanced Medical Services. And they were offering support to get people into the hospital to work in an extended role. And so in 2020, or the end of 2019, they supported me to get into my local hospital. They embedded me with the team, and I was able to then spend 3 years working in secondary care and building up my knowledge and experience of gastroenterology. At the same time, I did a diploma in gastroenterology over 12 months and really just built up my knowledge and understanding and built up these links with primary secondary care that are really important. But there also came a point where I just thought, well, I've been doing this for a while, and I'd really like to be able to take it that step further and start to do endoscopy as well, because I think that would really enrich what I do. And certainly it does really help you to understand what's going on with patients when you've done an endoscopy. You can kind of see the diseases in real life. And so I started to look for opportunities, and I was very fortunate that a gastroenterologist in London called David Graham was willing to train me. And so I live in Bath. London is a long way away, but I traveled up to London once a week and spent a day in London just doing my endoscopy training. That took about a year. And now I've been working as an endoscopist independently for 2 years. So it was a long route. There were a lot of pieces that came together, and hard work, I would say, in order to certainly hard work to get towards endoscopy training, because it's not a traditional route for a GP to follow. But I think if you're really motivated, sometimes you can find that pathway.
And it's really, really nice to hear, actually, the different aspects of your journey, that you had clearly some mentors and people who inspired you to take you along the way, people who were willing to train you. But actually, you weren't part of a formal fellowship. Also, important to hear that a lot of hard work goes into it. And, you know, I imagine a very practical skill for a clinician who's come from the world of GP, which is, you know, lots of practical examining, but much more communication-based specialty is a big transition. But it's, you know, it's actually amazing how quickly you've managed to get to that point. And I can imagine the kind of competition in some ways to get into endoscopy lists with gastroenterologists who are also training their own trainees and colorectal trainees who need to train and things like that. So it sounds really interesting. And I suppose some key take-homes for people there about, you know, networks and finding the right people and potentially being willing to travel and not expecting it to all come at once, but actually over a few years you really build up that skill base and that knowledge base and people start to take you seriously and be willing to train you further.
I think it is about the building blocks. You know, you've got to take those steps towards what you want, where you want to go, really. And I think you build your knowledge and then you build up the skill and you move forwards that way, really.
And so tell us a little bit about your other jobs, because you mentioned a role with NHS England and you also mentioned working with the Primary Care Society of Gastroenterology. So where does that fit into your week?
In terms of the NHS England and the training programme, this really came from my own experience. You know, it was really difficult and it required a huge amount of motivation to get to be able to work within secondary care, delivering, you know, gastroenterology services as I wanted to. I knocked on so many doors that I think in the end people got bored and just allowed me to come in and sit in clinic. You know, it was so difficult and it was very much a DIY job. And, you know, there aren't that many GPs with extended role in gastroenterology, probably for that exact reason, that it takes so much motivation and it can be so difficult to do. And so I wanted to find a way where actually we could open that door to more people, because from my experience, I absolutely love what I do. I absolutely love having the variety through the week, doing endoscopy, doing more specialist clinics, working in general practice as a partner, all the different roles that I have. And I just thought, you know, can we make this more accessible? And so that's really where the NHS England role came from. In 2022, I approached the, they're actually called the Southwest Endoscopy Training Network. They're part of NHS England in the Southwest. And I said to them, you know, well, it was actually when I was trying to get into endoscopy, I approached them and said, I'd really like to do endoscopy. Could you help me in any way? And they turned around and they said to me, who are you? And I said, well, I'm a GP, but I'm really interested in gastroenterology. I've done some clinics. I've done a diploma. I'm really interested. I'm really enthusiastic and energized. And they said, we haven't come across many of you before, you know? And I said, yeah, but I'd like to do some endoscopy training because it feels like it would be a sensible next step to do. And they said, well, I wonder if we could make more of you. And so I said, well, I think we could probably put together some form of training program if we work together. And so really it just went from there. I was very fortunate to be communicating with someone called Paul Dunkley, who was the head of the endoscopy network at the time. And he was just a really forward-thinking gastroenterologist who could see where this could fit in the future. And so together we built this program essentially from the ground up, which is essentially a kind of a one-stop shop for GPs who want to start to work within gastroenterology. It's effectively kind of the whole package. And I think it's quite unique in that respect. So if you're a GP who's interested, you can enter the program and over the course of 2 years, you'll gain the clinical knowledge, you'll have the educational experience in order to allow you to kind of thrive in that setting and in that role.
Tell us a bit about what those 2 years look like then.
The 2 years are split into a clinical phase or a clinical aspect and an educational aspect. So the GP enters the program, and for one session per week, they work in a secondary care setting linked up with a gastroenterologist. So they have a gastroenterology supervisor, and they're essentially running a parallel clinic alongside them, where essentially they can ask questions and start to build up their knowledge and confidence in seeing patients with GI presentations. Whilst they're in that setting, they're also completing workplace-based assessments. So very similar really to GP training, where you're doing things like case-based discussions with your supervisor, you're doing reflections in practice, you know, you've got end of year appraisals all embedded within that program. So it's all sort of integrated, and it's all available and accessible to that GP going through training. And it's accessible on a portfolio or an online portal that we've created, which allows them to access all of the templates for reflections and workplace-based assessments and upload it, and acts as their kind of training portfolio during that GP with extended role phase. Alongside the clinical aspect, there's also an educational one. So we run the GPs through a 12-month, fairly intensive distance learning education program. And essentially, we start at the top and we stop at the bottom. And we essentially take the GP through upper GI medicine, lower GI medicine, and hepatopancreatic biliary medicine. So GPs go through quite an intensive sort of structured education program around that. And every month is centered around a different presentation. So it could be, for example, dysphagia. And then the GP during that month will have about 3 hours of recorded webinars to watch, which just give them additional knowledge. These are all recorded by GPs extended roles or specialists in the area around the country. They also have an interactive case studies, which is what we call the virtual clinic, where they're presented with patient cases and they have to make decisions. And this all works interactively on the portal. And they also have to complete a monthly written assignment. So there's obviously quite a lot involved, so they have to be pretty motivated. But if they engage with the program, the education program, and they're working within secondary care, getting their knowledge and clinical skills up, they really complement each other really nicely. And so by the end of that program, you'll be feeling a lot more confident, you know, in terms of your gastroenterology knowledge and skills.
Wow, I mean, I really think that's a rarity that, well, we're lucky to have you on, that not only someone who's crafted their own pathway, but who's setting up one for others to follow. But yeah, a pathway that's really nicely ties a clinical structure for building your knowledge and experience base, but also an educational package that goes alongside it. How is it funded? So say people are sat there going, wow, that sounds fantastic. I've always been a little bit interested in gastroenterology, but this just sounds like it might be something I can fit into my week, and if I get the right support, they could follow in your footsteps. How does that work with different locations? Because you're obviously Bath based, but you know, say I wanted to do it in Shropshire, I don't know any GPs with special interest up here. I don't know the local gastroenterologist. How would someone go about making that work?
When we started running this in the southwest of England, we ran it as a pilot, and we received some NHS England pump priming to get the program off the ground. We then found that ICB started to fund the role from the beginning, which is really exciting. The latest development of the program is that it's actually been adopted by NHS England for a national rollout, which is really exciting. So NHS England, this was back in about June or July, NHS England decided to really invest in this program. They do feel that interface and moving care closer to home, greater integration between primary and secondary care really is a priority area and one of the pillars really of what NHS England are trying to achieve within the system. So they have really invested in the programme, and they have invested around £700,000 into developing GPs extended role in gastroenterology across the country over the next 24 months. So they have provided funding for 21 GPs to be trained nationally. The ICBs have shown significant interest, so we've actually got a large number of ICBs that want to be involved all over the country. So very soon we're going to be running this program nationally, and offering it to all sorts of GPs all over the country, and that will be fully funded by NHS England for the entire training program. So that will include the GP's time in secondary care, access to the educational program and portal, and supervision time in secondary care. So that's all factored in to that funding package from secondary care, oh, sorry, from NHS England. So that's really where we're at the moment. It's a really exciting time. And during September, they will be recruiting GPs onto the programme. And we hope towards the later part of autumn, we'll have all GPs embedded and we'll be starting that education process and that education programme for them.
Wow, that's amazing. So yeah, timeliness about this. But also, I suppose from what you're saying, and it sounds like people have been really invested financially, but also invested in the concept that it's something that hopefully will continue and that is a really good model that the NHS England and others could use to diversify the workforce, really, so that people who are interested in things, I suppose it's a bit of a call to action that, you know, if you show interest and go to NHS England and say, oh, well, actually, this is a really good programme, that there's opportunities that come up. But also, if you sell it in the right way, this interface between primary and secondary care and improving that and the roles GPs can have is something that the world of NHS England are interested in. So I think what you've done sounds amazing. I'm sure there's been lots of people who are really interested in the concept as well as the specialty. And it's interesting to hear how that came out about as a sort of iterative process. And actually, you approached them personally and they clearly went, oh, hang on a second, this person could turn this into something bigger. So well done. And I hope it goes well. And I'm sure there'll be a huge amount of interest. So that's fantastic also that it's funded, because I think that's one of the difficult things, isn't it? And I suppose I normally ask people, OK, well, looking back retrospectively, if you were talking to yourself 5-10 years ago, where would you start? But it sounds like actually what you've done is crafted a programme that allows people to follow in your footsteps in a much quicker fashion. Do you have any sort of hints or tips other than obviously signing up to this programme or looking it up? And we can certainly share the details of it. Do you have any advice for those who are clearly sparking an interest in gastroenterology listening to you about ways to get involved in networks or build their knowledge base outside of the pathway you've explained?
There are ways that one can do that. So the Primary Care Society for Gastroenterology, of which I'm a committee member, has some fantastic education. So they have an annual meeting, really useful sort of primary care focused education. And throughout the year, they also run really useful webinars, which can really help to, you know, spark your interest and deepen your knowledge of gastroenterology. So I think looking for those sorts of opportunities is really good. I think that trying to get conversations going with your secondary care colleagues can be really helpful, because that cross germination of ideas is really helpful. You can learn from them and they can learn from you. And I think it's a lot of this is around kind of personal relationships as well at this stage. But you're absolutely right. The idea of this program was really to open that door, because, you know, I think that there are a lot of GPs out there who are interested in extended roles. It's not for everyone. Not everyone wants to be a gastroenterology GP with extended role. Totally understand that. But there are some who are. And actually, for those ones, you know, it can be really daunting and there's no route. But there is now a route. And, you know, if people want to get in contact with me, they are very welcome to. My email address is my name, charles.andrews@nhs.net. And I'm always really interested to hear about people and where they're at and trying to help link them up with secondary care and seeing if there are opportunities in their area to build up, you know, their knowledge. So I'm always happy to help with that. And the Primary Care Society for Gastroenterology also has an expressions of interest area where people can go. They can have a look at they can have a look at the training programme. They can also have a look at the framework, which I haven't commented on, but there is a national framework that's been co-authored and approved by both the Primary Care Society for Gastroenterology and the British Society of Gastroenterology. So kind of both the primary and secondary care gastroenterology organisations. And it really formalises the pathway for GPs to follow. And it was a piece of work that I did with secondary care, which was a really great example of working across primary and secondary care to say, look, we value the impact that GPs can bring. We want to develop GPs extended roles. Here is how we think we can do it. And it's got things like a curriculum, it's got competencies, it's got kind of an outline of how you can get there. So it really kind of enshrines the pathway that we've created. And again, that's on the Primary Care Society for Gastroenterology website. So again, those sorts of things would be really good to look at, because there might be areas that you can think, well, I could maybe make a bit of a head start on this. I'd like to do the program at some point, but maybe, you know, now I can focus on this aspect.
Awesome. That's really helpful. And we can certainly share those links as well. And a really good starting point for people who may be out of sync with applying for the pathway, but just want to see whether it might be for them and think more with a sort of GP with a special interest or extended role hat on, what kind of things might they need to know about, as opposed to sort of normal, in inverted commas, primary care. You've shared lots of them already and your passion for it clearly comes through. But what would you say are the main benefits for you about having a GP with extended role aspect to your career?
I really like variety. You know, that's a big part of what I do. I like to be doing different things. So for me, it really fits my personal ethos and how I like to do things. I like doing something practical as well during my career. And I know that you've interviewed someone who does minor surgery. I also quite like minor surgery, so I do that in primary care. And you know, I think just having something very different from your normal general practice is really refreshing. And it also enhances my primary care, because actually when I see patients with GI presentations or complaints, I feel like I probably can add quite a lot of value to that consultation. So I think I bring back into primary care quite a lot from what I do as my secondary role. But equally, I bring a lot from primary care into what I do in gastroenterology. I think the fantastic communication skills that we're taught during training, you know, those sorts of that holistic approach to patients, I think really, really works both ways. In terms of sort of other benefits for me, I'm someone who is very inquisitive, and being interested in gastroenterology opens up huge numbers of different areas I can explore. So you've got things like the gut microbiome, a huge area that I'm really interested in, and actually can legitimately be more interested in because of my extended role. But it really allows me to sort of explore different areas, and I really enjoy doing that. And it also opens up different doors. So for example, I'm now doing a lot of education, and I love education. It's great. And I'm thinking about new ways to educate people and how we can make training interesting, you know, and that's another fantastic thing. Once you get into your specialty role, the different doors open up. So as I said, education. I also do research. So I run what's called a capsule sponge endoscopy service in my practice, which is a sort of a trial to see, you know, whether this concept works. Essentially, this is swallowing a capsule, and it's essentially doing screening for esophageal cancer and Barrett's, which is really interesting. So, you know, you can really start to explore lots of different areas, and these doors open up, and you can go through them if you want to. And I've just really enjoyed doing that, and, you know, getting lots of different experiences, meeting lots of different people, starting to do some work with NHS England, talking to people, you know, elective care leads, and trying to really understand how all of this system works. I think that my extended roles really opened up the door to lots of different places for me. And I'm, you know, really grateful for that. But I still very much feel at heart a GP, and I love being in the community. So, yeah, I feel pretty lucky all around, to be honest with you, to be able to have such a varied career and do so many different things. I do have to balance up, you know, sometimes you have to try and make sure you've got the balance right. But yeah, I really enjoy it. You could probably tell.
It's obvious, but in the best kind of way. And I think it's so nice to speak to lots of people, but you epitomise it really, that who love being a GP, but these extra bits enhance their role as a GP, and actually the skills that they have a GP really complement and adds benefit to the extra roles that they're doing. Because yeah, we're experienced in managing so many different diverse conditions and patients, and going with patients on that journey through whatever their disease process may be. You mentioned there sort of balancing things, because it sounds like you've obviously got a lot on. Are there any other downsides, you think, or caveats that you would caution people about before sort of jumping in and say, yep, my life's going to be as a GP with an extended role in gastroenterology?
I've alluded to it already. It is that balance between your different roles and trying to think, you know, what am I and what am I trying to do? I don't see myself as a sort of a gastroenterologist light. I'm a GP in extended role. You know, GP's extended role will see a very specific set of patients and will provide benefit to them, but we're not going to be seeing the patient who's had failed third line treatment for Crohn's disease and you're considering vedolizumab, but it, you know, we're not, that's not what we are. So I think it's about having boundaries around what the role looks like and what the role is, so that you're working within your competency and where you feel that that role should be. So I think kind of having boundaries around where your role sits and what you do within it, but also having oversight of your whole week and your whole career and making sure that you're kind of, sounds a bit silly, you're kind of nourishing each area equally and appropriately, because they're all important and they're all important to me, but they need to be given the right amount of time and the right amount of input. So I think it's just, you've just got to be mindful of that and make sure that you do look at your career overall and make sure that you're providing good care in all areas and feeling that you're confident in all areas as well.
I think that's really, really salient advice. And I suppose the really nice thing about the pathway that you're developing and the portfolio side of things is it's a really good way to evidence things for example, appraisal. Because I think it is really important, isn't it, when you're a GP who's doing lots of different bits, actually making sure that you are up to date and making sure that you're sort of accountable for all those different bits and doing the best you can in each of them is really important. But it sounds like that's nicely built into the pathway that you've developed, which is really helpful from the off. And because whilst I'm sure many trainees have a slight allergic reaction to the idea of a new portfolio, actually it can be a really helpful way of just making sure that you're keeping on top of stuff and that you're able to evidence what you're doing. Yeah. I certainly feel much more passionate about gastroenterology than when I started this conversation. So I'm really pleased that we've had the conversation today, and I'm sure lots of others will be inspired by it. We're asking people to end on their best moment or highlight of their role, which many of which you've alluded to already. But if you had to pick one moment or one highlight to end on as your role as a GP with an extended role, what would it be?
If I'm going to be really honest, I'd go back a long way actually to early on in my journey when I was a clinical champion for inflammatory bowel disease. Inflammatory bowel disease is obviously very personal and important to me. You know, I had a huge career change from history to medicine, as I said before. And, you know, so to me, it's really important. And when I was a clinical champion for inflammatory bowel disease, I supported, and faecal calprotectin was quite new at the time. It wasn't, you know, it was something that was not hugely well known and pathways weren't clearly defined. But within my region, I supported the team to roll out a really clear pathway for the use of faecal calprotectin in order to enhance and speed up the diagnosis of inflammatory bowel disease. And I recorded videos for primary care, and I really helped contribute to the pathway and how we could embed it within the area. And for me, that was so important and powerful that I'd been a patient and still was a patient with inflammatory bowel disease and had overcome quite a few physical hurdles and significant challenges, things like surgery. And actually, I'd come to a point where actually I was supporting pathway design and development to improve the care for people just like me, really, or, you know, how I had been. And that to me was just one of those moments, you know, when you just think, how did I get here? How did I get to that point where I was a patient, I was doing a history degree, and now I'm supporting the rollout of something that potentially could really impact lots of people?
That's a really nice message to end on. And I suppose it's the undercurrent of it is back yourself. I suppose you've got an interest and you've got a passion for it. And there's ways and means and people to help you along the way. But actually, if you've got the motivation, it's clearly done you a great service and to get to where you are today. But yeah, you can turn things around and don't undervalue the what you bring as a GP. But thank you so much for joining me today. As I say, I feel certainly inspired in a career that I'd never thought I would necessarily be so about. And I'm sure there's others sat there thinking the same. So thank you very much for giving up your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, Sophie.
We hope that this careers podcast has motivated and inspired you to explore the variety of career options available as a GP. Speak to your appraiser, your local training programme directors, or perhaps join our RCGP mentoring programme for further support to diversify your career. Thanks for listening and good luck.
The GP Plus Careers Podcast.